If you've got your Bible, I'm going to do a little preaching today before we have this baptism. And I pray that the Lord would use the Word of God to help your heart today and help mine too. Let's look in Titus chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse number 4 through verse number 7. Titus chapter 3, verse number 4 through verse number 7. I do appreciate all of you being here today. And you pray for Grace as the Lord has just saved her. She's a newborn babe in Christ, and now she's following Him in believer's baptism. That you pray for her, that the Lord will lead her, and He will, and that she'll follow, and she will, through the Scripture. Titus chapter 3, and I'll read verses 4 through verse 7. The Bible says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now let's look back in verse 5 for my title and my thought. It says, "Not by the works of righteousness which we have done," I say amen to that, "but according to His mercy, He saved us." And how did He do it? Not by repeating a prayer. There's no such thing as a sinner's prayer. Sinners have no prayer. They can't pray till God does what He's getting ready to do right here by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I want to preach for a few minutes this afternoon on the difference between reformation and regeneration. It's laid out right here in our text. The word regeneration means a spiritual rebirth. It's the new birth by the grace of God, that change by which the will and natural enmity of man to God and His law are subdued, and a principle of supreme love to God and hatred of sin are miraculously implanted into the heart of that man. That's Noah Webster, 1828. The word reformation, on the other hand, means to outwardly abandon, notice outwardly, abandon that which is evil or corrupt, and return to some type of a moral life. Regeneration deals with the inward man and sin. Reformation deals with the outward man and symptoms. See, that's the difference. See, the Bible says that we're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done. That's reformation. You'll have a lot of people, they'll say, "Well, you know, you just need to straighten up." Well, you might ought to straighten up, but straightening up won't save anybody. Right. You might say, "Well, you need to start going to church." Well, that'd be good and fine, but going to church won't save anybody. See, reformation is when you outwardly do things, you make some changes. One so-called preacher that I used to know, and I say so-called, he used to say, "Well, Grandma used to say, you need to mend your ways." You can't mend your ways. Your ways can't be mended outside the sovereign grace of God being bestowed upon your heart. Regeneration is all of God's mercy. Reformation is all of man's doing. Regeneration does lead to some reformation. You'll put off some things. You'll reform. Regeneration is an eternal act that is initiated, started, finished, and kept by God. Reformation is at times a temporary move of man. See, you can reform, you can straighten up, you can quit doing certain things, but then you'll go right back to doing them possibly. And see, reformation is not an eternal work. But regeneration, it's initiated by God, it's brought forth by God, and it's an eternal work that God does down on the inside of a man, and He regenerates him by the washing of the Holy Ghost. Regeneration gives life. Reformation can never give life. Now I'm going to have to make an apology right here. I'm going to make an apology to the Church of Christ. Something I've accused them of for many years, and I've been wrong. I used to say that they believed in baptismal regeneration, but they don't. They believe in baptismal reformation. They don't believe there's any such thing as regeneration, because regeneration is started by God, it's finished by God. Here's what the Armenians will tell you. Come down here to our church, get in the water, be a good church member, repent of your sin, live right till you die, take the Lord's Supper, and maybe when it's all over, you'll be saved and you'll get to go to heaven. That's not baptismal regeneration, that's baptismal reformation. See, regeneration is totally by the grace of God. Now, I want to say, I just have 2 points, maybe 3 or 4, just depends on how you count them. I want to look, first of all, why reformation, that's the putting off outwardly of sin, cannot bring justification. Our Scripture tells us that, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And why is that, preacher? You say, why is it that, you know, humanly speaking, if a man's a whoremonger and a dopehead and a drunkard and beats his wife, if he straightens all that up and quits doing that and I won't do it no more, surely that's enough for him to be okay. Surely. Well, I tell you why that won't work. It's something that's been silenced in our Baptist pulpits for about 100 years. It's called total depravity. That's why you won't be able to quit enough to get anywhere with God, because you can't quit enough to get spiritual life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. If you're here and not saved, I'm going to tell you this right here is where you're at today. The Bible said, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's the lost man. "Among whom also we all had our conversation, our way of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others." The Bible told us there that we are spiritually dead in our sins, and that we are by nature the children of wrath. We're enemies of God. We hate God. You say, "Preacher, I don't hate God." Everybody who's not saved hates God. They can't love God because they are dead spiritually. That's why reforming won't work, because you're dead spiritually. You're shut out from God till the washing of regeneration takes place. You're hopeless, friend. You say, "I need more Scripture than that, preacher. I don't know about this spiritual." And one guy said, "Oh, I believe in spiritual deadness, but I don't believe anything else you preach." Well, if you believe spiritual deadness, you'll believe the rest of what I preach. And that's the bottom line. No debate about it. Romans chapter 5, let's look at verse 12 through 19. "Now, since you are dead spiritually, and you have no ability to get to God on your own, you're hopeless. You can't get there. See, we have dumbed down salvation to an A, B, C plan. A, admit. B, believe. C, confess. And I don't know what D stands for. That is not salvation. Salvation is an inside work of regeneration, where the Spirit of God so takes a hold of you that He overwhelms you, that He invades you, that He makes you willing to be saved in the day of His power. Spiritually dead people cannot be saved by doing anything. It's got to be done to them, or you'll never be saved. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." We see that there. Then I want to turn. I'm not going to read the rest. I didn't need the rest of those scriptures. That said that sin was passed, that old nature was passed to us through Adam. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look here. I'm trying to show you the reason that reformation won't work. See, most people believe in a work salvation. If you want to get it right down to it, they do. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through 4. The reason reformation can't and won't work is because in your lost condition, you are dead. We went to a funeral. There's been a lot of people dying this week. Saw a man in the casket. He's laying there dead. That man cannot walk. He can't talk. He can't put his clothes on. He can't even take his last trip, last ride to the cemetery. Somebody else has got to take him. Spiritually, you're in the same boat till God quickens you and makes you alive. Now, let me show you something else here. For 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through 4. But if our gospel be hid, who's it hid to? It is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now see, the Bible says if the gospel is hid, it's hid to those that are lost. A lost man, you can't even repent and believe the gospel till God comes and regenerates you and changes you. Now people say, well, preacher, that doesn't seem like it makes sense. That doesn't seem like it makes sense. But if we go back to being spiritually dead, that you can't repent and believe, do you have life? If you don't watch it, you'll end up preaching repentance and faith as a work of salvation if you don't watch it. You, regeneration always comes before repentance and faith, but nobody who's ever regenerated don't repent and believe. It comes together. It happens instantaneously. But a man has life before he repents or believes. That's the first fruits of the new birth, is repentance and faith. You say, well, what about what Jesus said? Except ye repent, you'll all likewise perish. That doesn't do away a bit with what I just said. You can't repent till He saves you and regenerates you. That's pure and unadulterated grace is what that is. It's pure grace, pure and sovereign grace, that man has nothing totally to do with his salvation, that God must do it. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. See, God's doing all this. God quickens. God makes the light shine out of darkness. And it has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, God has to do it, or it will not be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 16. First Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 16. You may be here today and say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, I used to not agree with it, but now that I believe the Bible, I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at verse 10. Reformation won't work because you're spiritually dead. See, spiritually you're dead and you do not have life till you're washed by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. That's regeneration, you see. 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, capital S. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. This is some deep doctrine. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God, what? Knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we, that's the saved, have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, that's that regeneration which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, that's what you get at the Southern Baptist Seminary, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that man that's not saved, he receiveth not the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, no man receives the things of God because the natural man is dead. He can't receive anything till he has life from above. And then the last scripture I'll give you on this one is Romans chapter 8, verse 7 through 9. Because the carnal mind, that's the unsaved man, is enmity against God. See, we're enemies of God by birth. You're dead spiritually. You're blind spiritually. You can't hear spiritually. You hate God. You're a child of wrath. And you think that something you do can save you. You're a non-thinker to think that. But look here, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity. That means an enemy against God. I don't care if you're a 5-year-old child or a 10-year-old child who's never got into what we call quote-unquote sin. We are all born enemies of God. That's where you're at, friend. I'm glad, thank God, that salvation's all of grace, because if it wasn't of grace, not a one of us would be saved today. Right. Said the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. That's not just talking about the Ten Commandments, Brother Duke. That's talking about God's Word, His law, the whole of God's Word. He can't be subject to it. Neither, indeed, can He be. See, you're dead spiritually, and until the Holy Ghost takes a hold of your heart and shoots the shot of life in there, you're shut out. But thank God for sovereign and irresistible grace, that God will give you that effectual blow, and I'm glad, thank God, that He did. One day I was fighting against it. I said, no, that's not for me. But I'm glad in love that He gave that effectual blow and He birthed me into the family of God. And then it wasn't by my works, it wasn't by my will, but it was by the will of God. And I say, hallelujah for grace. That's the kind of grace the Bible teaches, friend. It's not modern day grace, but it's Bible grace. Then Reformation. Man, I've just been preaching 12 minutes. That's not bad. Yes, sir. John chapter 3. See the difference of me and some preachers that supposedly deal with certain subjects that people don't want to hear about is I back it up with Bible. I don't say, well, in my opinion, or far as I'm concerned, that don't matter what I'm concerned or my opinion. It's what God says. That's what the main issue of all this is. Reformation without regeneration will actually take you away from God. You think about it. That's some type of religion. When you put on religious garb and, you know, this and that and doing things to be saved, it takes you further from God. Because what did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? Adam and Eve were the first Armenians in the Word of God. I can see it now. They sinned, and they know they've sinned. And Adam and Eve are sitting there, and he says, well, Eve, me and you are naked. Yeah, we need to do something. You know, we hadn't talked to God today about it. Adam, no, we don't need to talk to God about it. And what did man do? Did man go, oh, Lord, where are you? Come down here. Man, we've done something. We've messed up. I mean, we've eat this fruit, and we've sinned, and we're naked, and we need clothes. No, he took out running just as hard as he could go in a dead run away from God. And he hid over there, started breaking these fig leaves off and making them clothes. He tried to cover himself. He reformed himself. And I can see him just as proud and said, come on, Eve, let's go see what the Lord has to think and says about our new clothes here. And they strut out. Well, they didn't even go looking for God even then. God said, Adam, he said, where are you? Where art thou? Did Adam come to God or did God go to Adam? Did you come to Christ or did He come to you? If you're saved, He come to you first. And then when He got done with you, you come running to Him saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Sorry, Granny. Amen. That's what happened when God saved you. See, Adam and Eve were the classic reformers. They ran and hid. They covered their own selves with their own works. But when God got done with them, He stripped them of their own righteousness, and He killed that animal, which was a picture of the atonement of Christ, and He covered them. See, blood was shed because of sin from the beginning. Without the shedding of blood, there's never been any remission of sin. And we are saved today because Christ died in our place on the cross, and He shed His blood, and He stripped my righteousness and covered me in His righteousness. And you think I could bring that on myself? I don't think so. And more than that, the Bible teaches we can't. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light, that's talking about Jesus, is come into the world, and men ran to Him and said, "Oh, come here, we need You." Now, your Bible don't say that, but a lot of people believe that. Where do you get your theology? Do you get it from Christian newspapers? No, you need to get it from this King James Bible right here. Even if it goes against 90% of what you've ever been taught, when this Bible reveals it, you better believe it and go with it and quit fighting against it. And this is the condemnation, that light is come in the world and men love darkness. You love your sin. See, there's some people I know, they're respectable sinners. Know what I mean by that is? They're good moral people. They work every day. They pay their bills. They keep their yard mowed. They keep their shrubs trimmed. I mean, their children are respectful. They're not wild. But I'm going to tell you, without Christ, you're condemned. Somebody said, "Well, what about whosoever will, let him come?" I believe that. Revelation 21 says, "He that is athirst." Until you get thirsty and get dissatisfied with what you've got, you'll never come. But when you do, you will come. Who creates that thirst in you? God. Who creates the hunger for the bread of life? God does. See, when we pray for somebody to be saved, how do we pray? Oh, Lord God, please save them. God, would You convict them? God, would You show them the error of their way and cause them to come to Christ? Every man, when they pray in grace. I mean, what you see what I'm saying? You're asking God to do it. You're not asking Him to do it within themselves. You're saying, "Oh God, please save them." And then you think they can save themselves. No man, when he prays, prays Arminian doctrine. He does that after the prayer. He practices it. So this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. So you love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You hate Christ. Neither cometh to the light. So you don't come to the light in your own power. In your natural state, you run from the light, folks. That's what makes salvation all of grace. That's what makes regeneration so necessary. He doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, that's he that's saved, cometh to the light. See, once you're saved, you come running to the light. Because the light's come to you. Amen. Now, 4:30. Boy, we're having fun. I've just got one more little thing to say here. It ain't too little, but it's one more thing. I want to look at how does regeneration take place then. See, the word regeneration means a spiritual birth. You say, "Preacher, how does a person get regenerated? I mean, how does that take place? What is the process of regeneration?" Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got something I want to tell you about it. John chapter 3. Let's look at verse 3 through 8. John chapter 3, give me just a few minutes here. Verses 3 through 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, talking about Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except," this is only, it's an exception, this is the only way, "except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water There's much debate. I personally think that's the physical birth. Believe what you want. We're not going to fall out. But the next verse really clarifies that to me. But to accept a man be born of water, his physical birth, you know, when you're born in embryonic water, the water breaks of the woman, there's fluid there. He said, except he's born of that water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the physical birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is of spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goest. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. See, we see here that Jesus told him, you must be born again. You must have a spiritual birth. That's regeneration. You say, preacher, how is a person regenerated? If we're dead spiritually, we cannot get to God, we don't want to come to God, then how in the world is it going to take place? I'll tell you how it's going to take place. God has a purpose and an ordained way that He brings His people to salvation. First of all, the seed of the gospel must be sown. We see in Ephesians 1, 11 and 14 says, you trusted after you heard the gospel. We see the parable of the sowers in Matthew 13, verse 19 through 23. And there's four types of ground mentioned there. Now I've heard some people say, well, that's four types of Christians. Some of them's better off than others. That's a bunch of junk. There's only one that's saved. It wasn't nothing wrong with the sower. It wasn't nothing wrong with the seed. It's the heart in which it fell in. And when it fell in the good heart, when it falls in the heart of one that God's going to regenerate, the seed will come up every time and it'll yield fruit every time. I say thank God to that. See, there must be, the gospel must be preached. Though I believe in the sovereignty and working of God in all things, I also know that God said that men must hear the gospel, and He's going to get the gospel to everybody He wants the gospel to get to. And I've got great confidence in God that He's going to do that. Because I know He's going to do that. So just as in your physical birth, there's the seed of the man and the seed of the woman. But the seed of the man can be sown in the woman, and sometimes a woman doesn't have a child. God's got to bless that conception and bring forth life. Every time the Word of God's preached, people hear it. But until the conception by the power of the Holy Spirit gets in that heart with that seed of the Word that's been sown and works regeneration, men will never be saved. That's how you're regenerated. See, you didn't have anything to do with your spiritual or your physical birth, I should say. When you were born physically, you were just born. You didn't say, well, I won't be born to Rodney and Karen Johnson or Jerry and Brenda, whoever. You were born. God blessed that union and you were born. Ain't that right? Well, when a man is saved and regenerated, it is so outside of our power and our doing, and it's all the inward working of the grace of God, that once that Word, that gospel is sown, and it finds a lodging place, and then the Holy Ghost through regeneration comes and blesses that Word that was sown with spiritual conception. I'm glad Philippians 1:9, I think it is, kicks in that He that began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, that good work began when He saved me. No, that good work began before the foundation of the world. Then in time I heard the gospel. Then He began that good work of conviction. And every work that He starts, He finishes. And when He gets done, there'll be a new born babe, a new child of God born into the family of God through the sovereign grace of eternal God. That's regeneration. You say, well, what's that do? Well, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. It puts it in the garbage cans, what it does. Like I told you before, there's no such thing as a sinner's prayer. A sinner can't pray. Until he has life, he can't do anything. And if you think you can, you think more of yourself than you ought to. John 3:3, He said, you must be born again. Again here means from above. Nicodemus didn't get it. He didn't understand it. Verse 8, He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. The wind and the Spirit are translated from the same Greek words in these verses. We hear the wind, we feel the wind, we can see the results of the wind, but we cannot see the wind. So it is with the working of the Spirit of God. Since man is spiritually dead, regeneration takes place before repentance and faith, but it never happens where these things are not immediately present. See, you can't see the working of the Spirit of God. It's like the wind that blows. You can have a wind come through here 150 mile an hour and you won't see the wind, but you'll see trees down, roots tore off. That's the way it is. God could be working regeneration on a sinner right now. I can't see it. You can't see it. But I tell you what we'll see in just a minute. If God is doing that in His time, you'll see somebody who cries out, Abba, Father. See, that's the newborn cries. Just like every one of my children, when they came out and they come out of their mother's womb, they broke out. What are we listening for? Everybody wants to hear the baby cry because you know there's life. And I say, thank God, when there's been spiritual life, you'll cry out, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father, have mercy on me. And that's what I asked Grace when she told me the Lord had saved her. I said, Grace, did you call out on God for mercy? She said, yes, Daddy, I did. She said, my heart was black with sin and He's been chipping away. And she said, Sunday, I cried out for mercy. That's not what saved her. That's just good evidence that she's going, why, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, I've got life, I've got life. That's how you get life, folks. That's true and pure grace. When you tell somebody, that's why I can't stand this door-to-door salesmanship we call soul winning. I'll show you how it works. This is the last point. Let me get a drink. I'll need a drink here. This is a sad day. Here's what happens. Woman on the other side's got three kids screaming and crying, trying to cook supper. Her boss has treated her bad. Her husband's left her and won't pay his child support. Here comes this salesman up. Yeah. Hello, how you doing, ma'am? Oh, I'm doing all right today. Y'all quit crying in there. Put your sister down. Now, what do you need, sir? Well, I'm with such and such Baptist church over here. Y'all get quiet in there. Now what, sir, what church you from? Over there, okay. Now I want to ask you something. Are you a sinner? Well, yeah, I guess we've all done. Would you quit? I told you to get your homework. Yeah, I guess we're all, what'd you say? Yeah, we're all have messed up, okay. Do you want to go to hell when you die? You believe in hell? Well, yeah, I believe in hell. No, I don't want to go. Would y'all sit down and get that out of your brother's mouth. You're killing. Y'all think this is funny, but I saw on the internet this is the way it goes. And I've done it myself when I used to run with an Armenian crowd over at Green Ridge. We'd get professions out of them quick as we could. That way the man could brag on his numbers and no converts, no regeneration. Okay, ma'am, no, we need to get this took care of. Would you repeat this prayer? Why am I doing this? So you don't go to hell, and nothing's been mentioned about sin. You notice that. Salvation's not fire escape insurance. It's part of the policy, but the main rider on the policy is your sins forgiven. Okay, admit you're a sinner. You've already done that. Check. Now, say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. Okay, I believe you died on the cross. Save me, and I thank you. Okay, ma'am. God bless you. Then a year later, they hadn't seen her at church. There's no fruit in her life. And they'll say, what went wrong? She said the sinner's prayer. No, she was talked into reformation and had an experience. Now, I know God can work how He wants, but you don't go from not thinking about God and fighting with three kids to 2 seconds later repeating a prayer and saved. It just don't work that way. It might isolatedly, but as a whole, regeneration has to have the working of the Spirit. And that's man's work. And we filled our churches up, Brother Jim, with 1, 2, 3 repeat after me's. And then when the man of God puts the Bible on them, cuts out all the extracurricular activities and just has preaching, singing, and praying, they say, what do you have for the young people? The same thing you need, Grandma. Preaching! Hallelujah! The praising of God, the singing of the songs of Zion. I'm going to tell you, if we got our churches back to just having praying, praying, singing, testifying, giving of offerings and worshiping God and taking the ordinances, it would shut down most Baptist churches because we filled them up with Reformation people instead of regenerated people, and Reformed people have to be entertained and have sideshows and gimmicks to keep them coming. Regeneration. Don't trust in your sinner's prayer, friend. Trust in the one who come to you, convicted you, quickened you, and when he got done with you, you did cry out, Abba, Father. Amen. See, that's assurances, Brother Jim. I told somebody this the other day, and I am done this time, I promise. Sometimes it's hard to quit when you're good in a good role plowing. But when somebody is truly saved by the grace of God, it is so totally of grace, it is so totally of grace in the working of God, that man will always glorify God for doing it. See, the Bible says the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed in that. If God's righteousness is shown forth in the gospel, then a reformed gospel does not show God's righteousness, it shows man's works, and salvation never can be by the works of a man. It's all by regeneration. Somebody said, Preacher, how do I know I'm saved? Now, I'm not going to get into all this really, but some people say if you ever doubt you're saved, you're lost. Well, they need to be smacked. That's stupid. Because you ain't considering something. Freshly saved, newborn babe in Christ, but that old nature's still there. That old mind is still there. And you can have doubts. But I'm going to tell you, just as much as when we see when grace repented and said she repented and trusted God and called out for mercy, and that's fruits that God saved somebody. It's fruits we can see, but those are assurances that we can say, you know, Lord, this isn't by feelings. We don't operate on feelings or emotions. But the fact is that I cried out for mercy, and the Bible says that that whosoever the Father gives him, all that the Father give him will come unto him, and he that comes into me I will in no wise cast out. And that's assurances there that I say, Lord, because of your grace I came to you and I cried out to you, and the fruit is there, Lord, that I cried out for mercy. See, just as those are showing others around us that those are fruits of salvation, it's also assurances to the believer because we've still got that old man fighting against it. And God wanted us to have some assurances that we could never repent and believe till He gave us life. But when you come doing that, it's because God has granted you life.